Welcome back to the Space Case Sarah Show with Kavi and Benjamin, my space nerds, here on iRock Space Radio. Kavi just won the race of who gets back into the green room. He's very excited. I think you're up to six. Was that right?
He's up to six.
There needs to be a recount.
The election is rigged. It's not, sir, it's not an election. I don't care. It's rigged. before we jump into this, we'll do our formalities really quick, but I'm Space Case Sarah everywhere on social media. Kavi is Fun Fact Science with Kavi, and Benjamin is Science Actually Science, depending on the platform that you go to. But we are all fairly active on social media. We love to engage with people and also apparently attract troll and people who want to recruit for you people. That's a new one. I saw that today, Benjamin. Yeah. He's really making it now.
Yeah. I know people. I'm kind of a big deal.
You can follow all of us on social media as well as irockspaceradio.com. And I have a very exciting announcement. Actually, I'm going to make it formally for the first time on this station. But you are going to be able to listen to old episodes on our website.
Is it live?
Well, as soon as I say go, whichever one I choose to be the first one up there is going to be put up. By the time that this is airing, yes, it will be live. So you are obviously encouraged to listen to it in real time, but you will also now be able to catch previous episodes on our website.
It's time traveling.
Well, you know, if you think about it, we're broadcasting out into the universe, right? And that's totally not fair that other people have the opportunity to listen. Well, people, hold on, scratch that. Other potentially biological organisms have the chance to listen to it again. And we don't? Say what? So anyway, no, that's very exciting. Thank you to the iRock team, Bruce, Chris, Chuck, who have made this possible. This is something that a lot of people have asked for, and we have given them their cake. Here you go. It is.
Yes. Eat the cake.
Old episodes. And I don't think there's much on it yet, but we are also starting a merchandise store on the website as well. So
really?
Yes, there is a merch page on our station's website now. So
there's gonna be armies of people with t-shirts with my face.
Check it out. Whoop whoop. So Space Career Fair. See, there you go right now. And actually I told this to kids last night, or yesterday, that the iRock Space Radio concept is basically Bruce is licensing the music that's being played above the Karman line. So that is the unofficial, you have made it to space point in elevation. And his idea is that eventually when there's a space hotel built, he has license to music to play on like said space hotel or things like that. So that's sort of the concept of this radio station. And when I would tell this to kids, they were like, what? And I was like, I know. So it's kind of funny that there are like real jobs we can talk about, but then there's also these like theoretical, like future jobs, but like there are plans. You can already make reservations to stay at the Voyager Space Hotel. You can put your name on the list. So think of all the jobs that are going to be like, they're Earth-based. Now think about how they're going to work in space, right?
I mean, some of them, like what you were talking about with respect to licensing for music in space, it just reminded me of this idea of a space lawyer. And I know somebody who is, you know, finished her law degree a couple of years ago and has every intention of being a space lawyer. And this is the sort of thing that like you think, oh, well, you know, maybe in a few generations they'll be no, like space law is currently a relevant profession for people to be, you know, doing, let alone like learning. I mean, there have been treaties between countries. So like, you know, who owns the moon, who owns space and this sort of thing, that people with an understanding both of, you know, legal things and also space things are needed for those sorts of jobs. So kids, if you like space, but you feel like you'd be a good lawyer, that's for you. That's there.
Exactly. There, like basically any job you think of on Earth, there's going to need to be an equivalent in space. Ooh, Martian map. Benjamin is showing us a Martian map. Can you tell us what we're looking at specifically?
Yes, speaking
here?
Of space
it's,
law.
It's like plated in glass.
I wonder if this deed to my plot of land on Mars will hold up in court.
I have a long answer and a short answer. Which do you want to hear first?
He's got, so he's holding, he's showing us a map of his deed of, he's got a deed of land on Mars.
Where is it? Where
I love the font to that too. It's yes, like,
ye olde English.
Yes, like ye old English. Like, I think we need to have a Gregorian chant going along with this. Ye old Martian map discovered in the late 1700s.
Yeah. So to your question of whether or not that will hold up in court, the short answer is no. The long answer is no.
Well, you know, it's like the name a star thing too, right? Where it's like, sure, that's your star.
You know, it why do people even want that? You know, why do you want to name a star after you?
People like gimmicks, man. I don't know. That's what people do. They like the gimmicky things. What can we say?
You know, I'm like fortunate enough to have found all these really cool stars in my honors research project that I'm working on now, that my thesis is due in a week.
You have the paper manager and I don't, so just whatever.
I was lucky enough to find all these really cool stars, and I mentioned that to my mum, and the first thing that she says is, oh, cool, so does that mean they name them after you? It's like, no, that's not how it works.
So,
but also, I don't think I'd want that.
So it doesn't work like paleontology is what you're telling us.
Well, even in paleontology, there isn't like, you know, a dinosaur named John Smith or whatever the name of the guy.
Yeah,
who
they
found
are.
It. What?
Yeah. Yeah. So no.
Dr. Tyrannosaurus Rexus? Like that was his name?
So if you discover a new species of dinosaur, you get to name the species, which I think we're very lucky that a lot of that was discovered in a time where a lot of people had the sense to name them in similar manners, because otherwise we'd probably get like sharp toothy McSharpie. but you get to name the species, and then that dinosaur gets named after you. So at the Field Museum, you have Sue, who is the largest T-Rex ever discovered. And then in my hometown, we have Jane, who is named after one of our museum founders. And Jane is the most complete juvenile T-Rex ever discovered. But this is so
when you say completely juvenile, does that mean that she was just like a really immature T-Rex?
Yes.
I got the 7-Eleven.
I've always wanted to, when I worked there, set up a Twitter account for her, because Sue has the funniest Twitter account from the Field Museum. Like, her descriptor is like large meaty bird or something like that. It's like really funny. It's so funny. Again, so this is a job you can have, people. You could be a social media manager in a completely humorous way for a dinosaur. Not that that's really a space job, but I'm just saying
dinosaurs are related to space. They had that one big interaction with the meteor.
Yeah, they did.
Too soon.
Insert all the jokes. We got Dart now. We have Dart. It's fine. Yeah, we can make the jokes now.
Like, what happened?
as a general statement, like even outside of space specifically, but for all sciences, you know, I love how our community is kind of shifting the focus away from, oh, we have to teach kids about STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, to we have to teach kids about STEAM, throwing that A for art in there, because it's a really important part of the sciences. And, you know, if we don't have a way of making the science accessible to a general audience, which is something that is done through the art, through, you know, making GIFs and memes and communications, then the science just kind of stays amongst the scientists, and it's not, it doesn't help society. You know, not everybody's a scientist.
Yeah.
So very, very important.
My son is in Boy Scouts, and they're having a merit badge, a STEAM merit badge weekend coming up in December.
Oh,
and you have to choose which merit badges you want to learn. And of course, there's the science ones. There's physics and astronomy and chemistry. But there's also animation and graphic design and everything all lumped in it as well. You can pick and choose which ones you want. And my daughter is taking astronomy and animation. So, I mean, it's really a big, big thing.
It's sure really cool.
There's the art is part of the science and technology.
Exactly. So that's definitely like a category of jobs that are out there. And there's also so many jobs that are just, I mean, and they're not as flashy, but they're important. The sort of like the maintenance, the human management that are at every single, you know, Kennedy Space Center and at, you know, SpaceX and stuff like that. Like there's always like job opportunities within those facilities and in those organizations that are just basic requirements to function as an organization. So even if, say, you've always dreamt about becoming an engineer and you love SpaceX, maybe you don't have the qualifications for it yet, but there are still ways you can get involved in those organizations and continue pursuing an education to then be able to leverage yourself to get better positions or whatever is more ideal to you in that organization. So, and that's actually something I always say to my kids all the time too, when they're like, I can't do it. I'm like, you can't do it yet. Like that growth mindset is so important because it's not that you can't do it now. And it's not that maybe you can just apply for a type of job that you're like, that would be, you know, my dream job. I got asked by some kids, like, how do you become an astronaut? And I was like, oh, that's like a really loaded question now, because now it's not just NASA. Now there are other space traveling organizations. I mean, I'm not going to go into the debate of like what qualifies as an astronaut or not. I do think that there should be some language that better defines what an astronaut that like trains to go to the ISS and what a suborbital astronaut flight person does. But I digress. My point was, you know, when you look at, think of Inspiration 4, no one with a prosthetic has ever flown before, but Inspiration 4 had Haley, who has like a rod in her leg. She flew, and that was the first person to ever fly with a prosthetic. That there's so many new opportunities that are going to be opening up for who can become an astronaut and who can't. And so they were like, well, I'm at NASA. And I was like, okay, well, it's really tough. Like that one, you know, I'm definitely like, dream big, but there are sometimes some parameters that, you know, you cannot control, like height limitations. Like there's, you know, you can't do anything about that.
Has over time removed a few requirements, like no more military services required. Well, technically military service wasn't required, but it was kind of implied, but now it's outright, you don't need it. The height limit thing was also, you know, connected to that military service thing because pilots could only be a certain height. And because of that, they built everything for pilots who were of a certain height. And then in the space shuttle era, they got rid of that as well. So
I do think there still is some sort of a cap because they can't build space suits. I mean, unless I guess if you know that you're never going to do a spacewalk, but like spacesuits aren't.
They're changing the sizes. No, I think for spacesuits as well, there was a whole issue with there was that all female spacewalk, right? That was meant to happen. Yeah. And there was an issue there that they didn't have two correctly sized spaces. It's like these are things that, as you said, were related to, you know, who used to be astronauts, like what very kind of homogeneous class of human beings used to be astronauts. And now they're like not just phasing it out. They've realized, oh, we are no longer, we are now selecting more diverse people to be astronauts. So we need to upgrade our gear. We need to make our gear, you know, not just be one size fits all, but actually have things, you know, well adjusted.
Yeah.
I mean, for example, with, I think we spoke a few episodes ago about STEMRAD, this kind of, I think it's an Israeli company who works with the US and Germany on radiation protective gear. And they do both gear for nuclear reactor, people who work in nuclear facilities, but also astronauts. And their whole big thing is to design radiation protection suits that are designed differently for men and women, because there are different, you know, physiological structures that are more or less sensitive to different types of radiation. So it's very much no longer a one size fits all thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to stop us. We're going to take a break. You just us even talking through these few things made me think of different career paths and things that are just so unconventional that you would never think could get you in the space industry that can. That popped in my head as you were talking. So we'll take another quick break. And when we return, we will continue talking about all these jobs that you could you could do someday. And I also wanted to make a quick note. I'll save it for the next segment, because this is a little bit of my soapbox that I do also when I'm a psych-commer as well. So you are listening to the Space Case Sarah Show with the Space Nerds, Kavi and Benjamin, here on iRock Space Radio.